Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Winnipeg Free Press, Calgary Herald, Montreal Gazette, Globe and Mail. Jeff Blair has written for all four. And if you can survive the world of newspapers, you can survive anything. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This song never gets old. It really doesn't. We are going to continue our baseball discussion. 11:35, David Cameron, Fangraphs.com columnist. You're gonna hear a lot of talk about Russell Martin and pitch framing and all that good stuff. Well, David Cameron knows all about that. He's going to explain it to us. Like I said, a lot of people have been talking about it in the past couple of days, and some of them even know what they're talking about. David Cameron certainly does. So get your pens, pencils, and paper ready. There will be a quiz at the end of David Cameron's presentation on the Jeff Blair Show. And we'll also take your calls ahead of David Cameron and ask you the question. Russell Martin safely in tow with the Blue Jays. That announcement will be made on Thursday, or Russell Martin will be unveiled on Thursday, I should say. The Jays confirming today that they've agreed to a 5-year, $82 million contract with him. So we'll take your calls. We'll ask you, what is the next thing you need to see the Blue Jays add? So we'll have a lot of baseball talk ahead. But before we do that, you heard in that little intro to the 11 o'clock hour running through my list of the list of newspapers at which I worked. One of them was the Calgary Herald. And I got to admit, there were a lot of things about Calgary I didn't like for a variety of reasons. But the best part of it, without question, was dealing with Terry Crisp and also Badger Bob Johnson for a while. Two real good coaches, two real good guys, and I'm very pleased at this time to be joined by Terry Crisp, who is now the Fox Sports Tennessee color commentator on the Nashville Predators telecast. The Predators, of course, in town tonight to play the Toronto Maple Leafs. Terry, thanks so much for doing this. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And as a former coach, you're the perfect guy to ask this question of. I admit, like a lot of people, I had concerns when Barry Trotz left. I wasn't certain that Peter Laviolette was a good match for this team. I thought that perhaps it was, you know, going from one extreme to another. I admit I was wrong. The good news, Terry, is a lot of other people in the NHL were wrong as well. Why has this marriage worked out so much?
Well, let's look at it this way, and I got to be very honest and blunt with you. When it was all going down here with David Poile and Barry Trotz discussing and being a good friend of Barry Trotz, we sat and talked. You know what? Trotz, he was the first one to say, you know what? I've had a great run. I've had a wonderful run here with the city, with the team, our family, but it is time. And he even felt in his own heart and his own mind it was time for him to move on and for somebody else to come in and take control of it. Being honest with you, I didn't know a whole lot about Peter Laviolette. I knew what his record was, what he had done before, the cup he had won, but I didn't know him per se as a person. I just, from what you heard, was that he was very, very, the word I want to say is disciplined in his approach to the game, his approach to the team. Having got to know him through training camp and through the first part of the season, he's enjoyable to be around. He is very, focused on work days. Believe me, when you want to talk to Peter on work days, meaning game days and whatnot, you're going to get a very short conversation. But other than that, he and his wife and family have fit in wonderfully with our city. And that's one of the first things when you come down to the south and down into Nashville and some of the cities, making it known that you're going to be part of the community. And that's the one area where Peter and his wife and family have done that perfectly. And then Peter also, right off the bat, and I got to say this, training camp. I was very interested to see what kind of a training camp he run, having coached for numerous years myself, as to what his approach would be. It was no nonsense. Right off the bat, he put the guys into the drills, and he didn't give you the pylon ones or the shooting drills or the fluff drills. He went immediately into his system drills, breakouts, regroups, attacks, special teams right off the bat. And then he also, which I liked, having been a coach, he went into what I call combat drills, the one-on-ones, the two-on-twos, et cetera. So right off the bat, what Peter did was he set the tone. Boys, we haven't made playoffs for 2 years. We want to make the playoffs this season. And the team has responded to him.
Terry Crisp joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Terry, when you have a guy who was such a part of the furniture as Barry Trotz was in Nashville, and I mean that respectively. He was there. He was in some ways to a lot of us kind of the face of the Nashville Predators in a lot of way. Obviously, when Barry Trotz is there, he develops long-term relationships with some of the players, guys like Shea Weber, some of the guys who have been around there, Pekka Rinne. How did Peter Laviolette go about developing a relationship with some of the core guys on that team?
You know what I think Peter did was right off the bat, he identified his younger group. And when he looked at his younger group, like your Smiths and your Forsbergs and your Yossis, and go on down the line to the kids like Bork, et cetera, in training camp, he matched them up with veterans. Like, he didn't immediately throw everybody together and just say, here's my big line, my kid lines. He moved them around. He moved veterans in. He wasn't afraid to make changes. And I think what that did was that established the fact that, hey, everything's wide open here. If you're going to be lucky enough to play with Neal and Ribeiro, you've got to earn the right. He had a few wingers up there before Forsberg. That chemistry started to click and made happen. He wasn't afraid to switch the defensemen around. He even moved Weber and Yossi apart for a while to see if that's what he wanted, if he wanted to leave it alone. And I think that sort of established the fact with all the players that, you know what, he hasn't come here with any preset ideas in his head. He's come here to look at this team, see what he has, and see what's going to work best for this hockey club, and play. And he made it known, though, right off the bat, that you will play if you show me you're capable of playing. And that was his mantra right off the bat. He says he doesn't owe anybody any favors here. He's coming here, his mantra is to win, and that's exactly what he was out to do. So right from the start, I liked what Peter did with his hockey club and his players. And you could also see him talking, like, in training camp with all the players, one-on-one, just casually, in the lobby, side of the rink, wherever, just sort of having a chat with them to get the feel of what they felt and how they thought things were going.
Terry Crisp joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. The 11-4-2 Nashville Predators are in town to play the 9-7-2 Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at the Air Canada Centre. You can hear the Leafs Nation postgame with Stellick and Osborne immediately following the final horn. Philip Forsberg has, to say the least, been one of the real stories early of the season. He leads all rookies with 20 points. What is it about Philip Forsberg that has allowed him to fit into this system and ultimately allowed him to fit into that line, Terry?
You know what it is for a 19-year-old kid, and I've watched him very closely, because you're always looking for somebody to pound the drums on, to hang your hat on, because every city, every team wants somebody like Gaudreau in Calgary, et cetera. This kid, right off the bat, even last year, he didn't get a whole lot of ice time. But when he came into training camp this year, they had the rookie camp. Four teams were here. They had a tournament. He shone in that rookie camp. And believe me, there was a lot of good, young, talented rookies in that tournament here that we watched play in the preseason. But this kid, what I liked about him was he had confidence in his game. He wasn't afraid to carry the puck. He wasn't afraid to make a play, carry it deep, make a spinorama, go behind the net, make a curlicue. All the things that you see from, quote, veteran players, guys that have been around the league and knew that if they made a mistake, they weren't going to sit on the bench. This youngster, Forsberg, he had it right off the bat. And the one area I loved about him was, and I always say this, I watch players how they can pass. And having watched Paul Kariya pass through traffic and rattle off passing through traffic and Ryan Ellis, this kid, with the puck on his stick, you think you got him penned in, you think you got him labeled, he'll make a play through traffic that is like a 10-year veteran. That's what's impressed me the most about this youngster. He feels that when he has the puck, it's his. And when he's ready to give it up and give it to a teammate, then that's when it's going to happen.
Terry, one of the other real positives for this team, of course, has been Pekka Rinne. He's been able to stay healthy. The schedule's helped a little bit, hasn't it, in that the Preds don't have back-to-back games until December 22nd to 23rd. So, I mean, the one thing Peter Laviolette does have going for him is he knows who will be in goal for him. Pekka Rinne seems to be back to where he was before the medical problems, isn't he?
You know, he is, and we were really scared last year when he had that infection, especially since that when he went and had the operation, came back, everybody thought he was healthy, put him back in again, we're ready for him because he is our mainstay, and then suddenly, bingo, he gets that infection in the place where the operation was, and that scared the tar of everybody, put him back, set him back, set us back, and let's be honest, Jeff, everybody knows, you can put everything in place you want, you can be the most brilliant mind. You don't have a goaltender, you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And just look over the Stanley Cup winners every year and check the net and see who's in it for you, whether it's one best year in his career or four in a row. And that's what Pekka Rinne means to this hockey club. I mean, the two guys that they built on, and this year a little differently, but were Rinne and Weber, and they carried the load. And nothing's changed now. There's still the two horses here that lead this parade.
Terry, it was good of you to join us as always.
Hey, anytime. You know, I'd love to talk hockey with you. Say hello to all the Leaf Nation up there. And listen, be kind to our Predators tonight, eh? We need the points.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's a matter of the Leafs being kind to the Predators. I just kind of hope the Predators, you know, leave a little bit left here. There's a little bit left of the Leafs when they're done. Mostly, I hope Phil Kessel talks afterwards so we don't have to do that again anymore. Good to talk to you, Terry.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, you know that. And thanks to all our hockey fans up there. Stay with us.
All right, you be well. That is Terry Crisp, Fox Sports Tennessee's color commentator. And again, you know how I sometimes have fun with the way everybody in hockey says that everybody's a good guy? Well, Terry Crisp is absolutely one of the very best. And it is always, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to him. By the way, I want to mention that Hockey Central at noon today, 12:15, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper will join Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. I'll talk about last night's big win and look ahead to the game against the Islanders. And don't forget, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, will be on Primetime Sports today. Discussing the Russell Martin signing, the Blue Jays have made that official. There will be a news conference on Thursday, time to be determined. But the Blue Jays have tweeted out a picture of Russell Martin in a Blue Jays uniform with proudly Canadian coming home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a pretty big deal for the Blue Jays. It's the largest free agent contract Alex Anthopoulos has given out, largest contract period, although I always like to kid Alex that he was, in fact, part of the process that gave Vernon Wells that long-term contract. He's always told me, yeah, but I got rid of the contract, too, so doesn't that buy me some time? In fact, it does. We're going to be joined by Dave Cameron of Fangraphs because I can't explain pitch framing to you the way he can. And as I said, you're going to hear a lot about pitch framing. It's one of the real strengths of Russell Martin's game, and it's kind of... It's become an area of baseball analytics that has become more and more important as the game goes away from home run hitting into more of an emphasis on how pitchers are used. And as I said, it's a real period of transition for this game, and defensive metrics are a big part of it. And Russell Martin is pretty much off the charts in this area. So David Cameron will join us. It's going to be a lot easier for him to explain it to you than me. But by the way, there will be a test afterwards. I'm dead serious. So bring your have your pens, pencils, and paper handy. We'll have the test tomorrow morning, and the winner will get some sort of prize. I don't know what it is. Maybe a date with Travis McKenzie or something like that. Want to talk about the signing of Russell Martin or dinner? You know, if you're a guy, you can go out for dinner with Travis. Want to talk about... Get your head out of the gutter. Want to talk about the signing of Russell Martin. The numbers are 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. And ask you, what do you want to see the Jays do now? The Jays have made official that contract. What's the next step for the Blue Jays? Where do they have to go? Brandon in Toronto. You're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, all right. Russell Martin, done and dusted. He's a Blue Jay. You got him for 5 years. What's the next move you need to see from the Blue Jays?
Personally, I'd like them to see re-sign Melky and then work on the bullpen, because personally, I think Pompey and Goins for the season, and because of their defense, could cover those two positions. I think Goins, even last year, should have been there every single day at second. I know he can't hit very well, but this offense could carry it, I think. And just work on the bullpen. I think those are just the next two things you got to do. Melky and bullpen.
Yeah, Melky's going to be interesting, because I got to tell you, I don't know if I have. I know there's a report out there that the Jays offered him 3 years. I don't know if I really have an accurate feel for what the Jays have offered Melky Cabrera. I don't know if I have a real good feeling in that. I do know this, and I will credit Alex Anthopoulos for this. I like the fact that he has basically said to Melky Cabrera and his people, look, we're not going to be held up. Right, you guys can do what you do, what you're going to do. You can do what you want to do, but we've got to basically have this done by the winter meetings. We have to know by the winter meetings, which is it's 3 weeks away. We've got to know by the winter meetings whether or not you're coming back or not. And I find it interesting that Russ Martin's contract, we now know, breaks down $7 million, $15 million, $20 million, $20 million, $20 million. Ben Nicholson-Smith, our baseball editor in Sportsnet.ca, suggests that means that the Blue Jays now roughly, when you look at payroll commitment for next year and potential contracts that will be won or given out in arbitration, that Alex basically has about another between $7 and $10 million to play with based on last year's $137 million payroll. Now, of course, we have been told by Paul Beeston payroll is going up this year, so it's entirely possible if payroll is 145 or 150, for example, that in point of fact, he has a little bit more than that. In point of fact, he may have closer to $20 to $25 million to play with. But I have got to think that whether it's R.A. Dickey or Deonner Navarro or Jay Happ, that Alex Anthopoulos will make another move that will free up a little more money. And if that happens, you may see them. I mean, they're already in on Andrew Miller, but you may see them being able to add another free agent infielder or maybe trade for an infielder that can help address their situation. I do know this. There is no way in hell they're going to start the season with Kevin Pillar in left and Dalton Pompey in center. You just can't do that. You can't do that and have Russell Martin behind the plate. Just not going to work. Spike, you're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. What's the next move for Alex Anthopoulos now that Russell Martin is signed?
I'm going to say it's either going to be a trade of the pair of Dickey and Toley, or it's going to be a trade of Burley and Navarro in separate trades. But the whole three-catcher thing with Burley needing... Or with Dickey needing Toley on his own, I don't think that's going to make it to the start of the season. I think either Toley's going to be our backup catcher.
Oh, God. Don't say that to me. Oh, heart palpitations.
I know, but we got to trade something. You got to give up something to get something. That was news to me about the contract setup, and it's a good idea to keep some money available for now and backload the contract for when everyone's gone.
Well, and of course, if you're Alex, too, the best thing about backloading the contract is you may not be around when you have to start moving that contract out. Don't think for a minute that isn't part of the thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I'd do the same damn thing. Believe me, there isn't a general manager out there who wouldn't like the idea of backloading a contract knowing full well that he may not be around when it's time to address that issue. Or, if he is still around, it means that things have gone well and it ain't an issue. It's never an accident that a contract is structured the way it's structured. out of Mississauga, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. What's the next move for Alex Anthopoulos?
Well, you know, like hockey, Jeff, I think his strength up the middle, and I think they have to determine whether they want to put Lowry back in third base or whatever, or put him in second. But that, I think that has got to be the top priority. And then everything else falls. But strength up the middle. We've got a fantastic catcher now, and the infield is the second most priority they should have. You know.
All right, Alan. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Clifton in Etobicoke. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Clifton, where the hell have you been?
Oh, I'm always here listening, buddy. I'm a good listener. Hey, Jeff, listen. Now, I know I've used this, this reference before with you on the air about Johnny Oates, the late Johnny Oates.
Mm-hmm.
He was asked once when his team was in first place. I think it was by the Fabulous Sports Beat. Johnny, what do you attribute, you know, like this great start? And, you know, like your team is doing so great. He said, babe, you give me a starter who can end losing streaks. A couple guys who can prolong winning streak and a guy who can close out games.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, I'm looking at this team and we're far away, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The closest thing to those three things that Johnny Oates named that I see on this team are a couple guys who can prolong winning streak. So, you know, signing Russell Martin is very good, but Alex has got a lot of work to do still, man.
I agree with you. I've said he needs at least one infielder. You've got to address second or third base. You need another outfielder. You can't have Kevin Pillar and Dalton Pompey both in your starting outfield and be considered a serious team. And, you know, I've been kind of told that don't pay attention to anybody who says that Kevin Pillar is going to be out there as a starter to begin with. You're right. There's still some work to do. And the bullpen really intrigues me because I think... And I've been told that Alex Anthopoulos has kind of crossed the Rubicon and that he's prepared to spend money on his bullpen. It's something he's never done in the past. He's never really been a guy willing to go out and sign that big free agent reliever. But, you know, he was never a guy who was going to give away a five-year free agent contract either. To me, you know, in signing Russell Martin, it suggests that, maybe Alex has had a change of thinking. Maybe Alex has decided that he's really got to go for it this year. And if that includes bringing in Andrew Miller on a four-year deal, then maybe you do that. Maybe you say to Andrew Miller, if other teams are offering him 3 years, we'll give you four. As I said earlier, I wonder how the experience of being part of J.P. Ricciardi's front office when B.J. Ryan was signed, I wonder how much being part of that front office is going to play into Alex's mind when he sits down and thinks about Andrew Miller, because they are dead serious about Andrew Miller. I mean, there was a story out there yesterday about John Lester that John Lester is not a guy that they've had any serious discussion about. But Andrew Miller's a guy who's very much in their radar, and Andrew Miller's a guy that they've loved for the past couple of years. But even to Clifton's point, even if they bring Andrew Miller in, that still doesn't address some of their other situations. But I would tell you this. If you bring Andrew Miller in, you automatically open the possibility of dealing Brett Cecil or Aaron Loop. You have right now opened the possibility of dealing D'Honor Navarro, and Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports has just tweeted that the Blue Jays are drawing interest on D'Honor Navarro. So let's take a look at this team. D'Honor Navarro, I think we can say that these are the players most likely to move right now. All right, if you can add Andrew Miller, you're going to move somebody out of your bullpen. D'Honor Navarro is likely to move. I think R.A. Dickey, I'm not certain about Mark Burley. I think Mark Burley's too important to Marcus Stroman and the development of the kids in this team to move him. I think maybe Dickey is a possibility. And of course, you know, Dickey and Josh Tholey are kind of joined at the hip. And Jay Happ, I can see that. I can see those players being among a group of players that could be moved. The one thing I was told going into this offseason by a couple of people close to Alex was be prepared for us to add players that appear to be redundant. In other words, be prepared for us to upgrade at positions where you may already think we have the answer because we may not feel we have the answer. And I will tell you this, I have said this at the beginning of the offseason, I continue to maintain this. When it's all said and done and the Jays are coming out of spring training, Aaron Sanchez is going to be at the back end of the bullpen. And if you think of a possibility of having Aaron Sanchez as your setup guy for Andrew Miller, or maybe some sort of combination thereof. And keep in mind that Aaron Sanchez, and Alex Anthopoulos has already said, Aaron Sanchez is going to be on an innings watch next year. So there are ways of maybe starting Aaron Sanchez, having him go to the bullpen or vice versa. There are ways of managing that. But I really believe that if this team could get Andrew Miller, you're looking now at Andrew Miller and Aaron Sanchez in the back end of the bullpen. And I keep telling you this, I really do believe people are changing the way they look at the bullpen versus the starting rotation. And one of the things I think you're seeing with the advent of so many young starting pitchers is you've got guys who sometimes have a difficult time getting through that third time around, let alone the fourth time around against a team. One of the ways you mitigate that is by making your bullpen stronger. So it's one of these things. If we operate under the assumption that baseball, more and more, we're going to see young, cost-effective starting pitching, you may end up having a change in philosophy and how that young, cost-effective starting pitching is used, at least out of the gate. Eric in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Jeff. I always follow Clifton. It's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, it is a tough act to follow. But that's okay. That's why we let you do it. We just we don't let just anybody on this show.
Right, just Eric from Toronto after Clifton.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, good stuff. So first things first, I think one big issue that we have is that we can have this legitimate discussion and lots of people can have valid points on different part of the infield, outfield. I mean, that's got to be a concern. What I see is a big question mark in the outfield. Of course, we don't know if Melky Cabrera is coming back. I think you have some skepticism there. Mm-hmm. I think that Alex should pull the trigger. I think he will, truthfully. But, I mean, now that Ghost is gone, so Colby Rasmus is our guy now? I don't want him on the
team. No, Colby Rasmus is gone. He's a free agent. Dalton Pompey.
I mean, we got you know, question marks out the wazoo in terms of the outfield. Of course, Jose, as long as he stays, that's, you know, he's our right fielder. But other than that, I mean, there's a lot of question marks there. So that would be my main question.
Yeah, look, I agree with you totally. I think, I know there are people in the Blue Jays organization, starting with the manager, who think Dalton Pompey can be an everyday center fielder next year. I hope to hell he can. I really do. But I'm a little bit skeptical. And that's not a slag against Dalton Pompey. It's just he's, I don't know if having, and I would need to see who's in left field, but I don't know if having Dalton Pompey in center field necessarily screams to me that you're a playoff team. I'm prepared to have my mind changed on that. And I'm not going to sit here and say, boy, if Dalton Pompey's in center field, the Jays have no chance of making the playoffs. I got to see what else happens. I got to see what else. Now, if Dalton Pompey's in center field and he's going to be batting eighth or ninth, and it's a longer lineup, a heavier lineup with more offense, then I'm cool with that because that dude can flat out run and flat out catch the ball. So I'm fine with that. Dalton Pompey can make my team provided that I don't expect anything from him offensively. But if this team has some offensive issues, then I have a real concern about having Dalton Pompey. If Dalton Pompey is viewed as a guy who has to have a good year for this team to contend, then I think they're in real trouble. No, they're not in real trouble. That's overstating it. If Dalton Pompey is viewed as a guy who has to have a good year for them to contend, then I really question whether or not they are a series contender. Adam in Oshawa, very quickly, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. Russell Martin is signed, sealed, and delivered. News conference will be sometime on Thursday. Now that that's done, what is Alex Anthopoulos' next move?
I believe that they should go and get Nori Aoki from Kansas City.
Are you Mike Wilner in disguise?
No, I'm not, because I'm going to suggest that we should maybe go get Trumbo, which I am certain he would hate due to his anemic on base.
So yeah, there you go. So you're picking one of Wilner's, that you're going off the board and you're going on the Wilner board as well.
Yeah, I love Aoki. Wilner is a brilliant baseball mind. And that's a
Hold it. I wouldn't say he's brilliant.
Okay, he's a mind.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. There's three people in our control booth who are all nodding. We're all nodding. I'm just kidding.
And also, there's Alfredo Despain. If you Google him quickly, I don't know why anyone hasn't showed interest in this guy. But Aoki and Trumbo are two things I would do. They're both very cheap as well.
Yeah, you know, I think Aoki is. Now, I was having a little bit of fun with Wilner. I was saying I need more power out of that position. I think Aoki is very much in there. On their radar screen. I just can't. They cannot try to sell Dalton Pompey and Kevin Pillar on the populace. You can't do that. You can't do that. And I think Alex realizes that he needs, if he's going to lose Melky Cabrera, and I admit that we're all operating under the assumption Melky's going to go. But if they do lose Melky Cabrera, are there guys I'd rather have than Aoki? Of course. Would I put a hole in the wall because they got him? No, not at all. But again, I have to see what the rest of the lineup has. But he does address a lot of the issues that Alex Anthopoulos would like to see addressed with this lineup. And again, I keep getting back to that. This offseason isn't only about filling holes. This offseason is about making the team better, getting better players in here. This was not a playoff team last year. It's a playoff team that had a scalding hot month, a month that we may never see a Blue Jays team have again. This was not a playoff team last year. This team needed to be better. You could not bring back last year's team, re-sign Melky, re-sign Colby, and run that out there and expect to make the playoffs. It was not going to happen. I talked a bit about pitch framing, and I admit, it's not something that I'm really well versed in. I understand the concept. I get the general idea of what it means. David Cameron is a columnist for Fangraphs.com, and one of the best things Sportsnet.ca did, besides hiring me, of course, one of the best things Sportsnet.ca did was add Fangraphs to the lineup. David Cameron is going to explain pitch framing. There will be a test. Get your pens, pencils, and paper ready. We'll come up with some sort of prize. Trust me. This is a Jeff Blair show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, we're back. Hockey Central at noon. Millard, Kiprios, and McLean, they will be joined by John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tim and Sid this afternoon, they got a great show lined up. Vince Carter! Just channeling my inner Jack Armstrong there. Vince Carter will join the boys in the 2 o'clock hour. Vince Carter and the Memphis Grizzlies, the best team in the NBA, will be in Toronto tomorrow to play the Raptors. They are a killer defensive team. That's going to be an outrageously entertaining game. Every Raptors game is getting me pumped up. But the Memphis Grizzlies will be a tremendous game. And at 3:30, Brett Lowry will join Tim and Sid. His first interview by a Toronto media outlet since the end of the season. He did an interview yesterday, I believe, with the MLB Network. But this is his first interview with the Toronto media outlet. A lot to learn, a lot to figure out about Brett Lowry, like what he's been doing in Arizona, which is where he's been rehabbing. There's a real kind of sense of mystery as to where he is in his rehab And this will be a great opportunity. So Tim and Sid will have Brett Laurie at 3:30. And then, of course, Bob McCown of Primetime Sports. You don't have to go anyplace else. I've talked a lot about pitch framing this morning. And I've admitted that I don't know a great deal about it. But that's also put me in company of a lot of other people, because there have been a ton of people talking about pitch framing since it became clear that Russell Martin was going to join the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'd say about half of them really don't know any more than I do about it. I mean, I get the general sense of what pitch framing is all about. It's certainly become an aspect of the game that has been more and more measurable in recent seasons. And as is often the case when I'm dealing with stuff like this that I really don't understand, I go to FanGraphs. And in this case, I'm bringing David Cameron, columnist for FanGraphs.com, on to help explain this to me. So, David, I've told my listeners, pens, pencils, and paper ready. Tell them everything they need to know about pitch framing and why it's important when it comes to Russell Martin.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way to think about it is, if we remember maybe Eric Gregg's strike zone for Luan Hernandez in the World Series back in 1997, where yes. When you watch that game and you're like, everything he throws is going to be called a strike. Six inches mm-hmm. outside, at the letters. It didn't matter what Luan Hernandez threw. That game was going to end 1-0 because Eric Gregg was calling everything a strike. Guys like Russell Martin and Jonathan Lucroy and Jose Molina, really all the Molinas. If your last name is Molina, you're probably good at this. They do that almost every day. This is kind of their skill, is they're very good at receiving the ball in a way that tricks the umpire into calling pitches outside the zone as strikes. And traditionally, the Eric Gregg strikes when we thought of like super wide. And back in the mid-90s when Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine just painted the corners, they would get, 3, 4, 5 inches off the outside edge. That's not necessarily how it works anymore. The strike zone has really grown down in the zone. That's mm-hmm. kind of been where umpires have allowed these guys to trick them into getting pitches, is at the bottom of the knees, going lower and lower. And I think a guy like Martin is really going to do wonders for all the guys on the Blue Jays staff who like to pitch at the bottom of the zone, because when Aaron Navarro was back there, the glove was moving around a lot, the hands were a little bit noisy, the umpires were not giving them pitches. Martin's going to get calls for those guys that Navarro did not, and you're going to see a lot more 0-1 counts or 1-2 counts instead of 2-1, 3-0 counts.
Now, especially in a staff that's going to have a bunch of guys that throw two-seamers, it's going to be hugely important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really what we see with the Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals. A lot of what has been talked about is the Dave Duncan effect is probably more aligning guys who throw the two-seamer, which is what Duncan did in St. Louis, with a guy like Yadier Molina who lives at the bottom of the zone, gets the umpires to call a lot of these pitches. You can really basically pitch down in the zone with your two-seamer, get ahead in the count, and then you can throw a breaking ball out of the zone. You can go upstairs with a four-seamer. It opens up a lot of doors to get those early strike calls with that two-seamer down.
David, how good defensively is Russell Martin? And how can you measure his impact on a team defensively in terms of wins?
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, I think, we're kind of in the beginning stages of trying to quantify pitch framing and receiving, and certainly we haven't quantified pitch calling and, whether a guy is going to call for the right pitch and the right to exploit the hitter's flaws at the right time, or how well a pitcher's comfortable. That and that stuff we're not even scratching the surface of yet. But even still, just looking at, say, blocking the balls in the dirt, controlling the running game, and then converting some of these pitches on the margins into strikes, we think that the range of wins from a really good elite defensive catcher, the Lucroys, the Molinos, the Russell Martins, probably about 3, 4, maybe even 5 wins better than a guy like Navarro, who's on the other side of that, where he's an offensive first catcher, the Ryan Dumitz of the world, or the guys like that who are basically just in the lineup for their bats. We think it's probably about a 5-win stretch between the best and the worst.
David Cameron of FanGraphs joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. When do we start being able to measure, or when did we start focusing on this aspect of the game? Was there a time? Is it just recently, the past couple of years?
Yeah, about 3 years ago, there was a guy named Mike Fast who worked for Baseball Prospectus who really kind of did a lot of the groundbreaking work on this, wrote a series of articles that really kind of revolutionized how we thought about the catcher's ability to influence the umpire calling balls and strikes, and prove this is a thing that persists year over year. It's not just random. it's not, you know, one guy's good one year and one guy's good the next. There's guys who are very good at this every single year. It didn't take very long. The Houston Astros hired Mike Fast, and basically everyone who's worked on this subsequently has ended up in baseball. So the guys who really pioneered this 2 or 3 years ago, they're all working for teams now. There's a reason the Astros just traded for Hank Conger from the Angels. He's very good at this. Not a coincidence that the team who hired the guy who kind of revolutionized this is now also trading for these guys. The Rays, the Pirates, teams like that are targeting players who show up really well by this analysis, and they're hiring the guys who have proven it.
Dave, it was good of you to join us. Time is not our ally today. Mostly my fault, not yours. We'll do this again.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. That is David Cameron of Fangraphs.com. And as I said, Sportsnet.ca carries Fangraphs stuff as well. So there you go. This gives you a little bit of an idea. You're going to hear people talk about pitch framing. Gives you a little bit of an idea about what of what it's about. And seriously, if you want to know more, just go to Fangraphs, take a look, and they'll explain it all to you. And Bob's your uncle. Hockey Central at noon is next. Millard, Kiprios, McLean, John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, joins them. Tim and Sid following Vince Carter and Brett Laurie. That sounds to me like a great lineup. Primetime sports as well. That's it for me. Have a great day, everybody.